This is the Diabetic Show, featuring Mark Philwood and Dobie Maxwell, right here on WGTD, featuring all things diabetic.
And welcome to the Diabetic Show. My name's Mark Philwood, probably a type 1 diabetic since 1987.
Dobie Maxwell, exactly a type 2 diabetic since June of 2011. And working on becoming a type 3 just so I get my name in the paper.
It's a matter of concentration, dedication, perseverance.
You don't have to be the greatest. It's like in baseball, Tommy John surgery. He wasn't the best pitcher in the world. In fact, he wasn't even a Hall of Famer. But there's a surgery named after him, and kids generations after he played knows who Tommy John is.
I remember him being an ex-White Sox.
White Sox, yes. Yankees, also Angels. Had a long career, close to being Hall of Fame numbers. I don't know if he's a diabetic or not. That we could check out.
He was almost great until those Sox traded him.
Yep.
Then,
boom.
Well, because he hurt his arm. There's no way he's going to pitch again.
So he had the surgery, and he pitched probably 10 more years.
Dumped him off on L.A., I think it was.
So hopefully they can have a Mark Philwood surgery, so you're famous into the ages.
That is true.
And you almost had it.
I did. But I might be able to settle on having a disease named after me. And hey.
Okay.
Yeah, talk to big people on that.
Well, surgery, I think, would be more. The disease would be okay.
Yeah, that's true, because at least then you're stuck with me.
It's like the sponsorship of an arena. You know, the Fiserv Forum. Who heard of Fiserv before Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee? Now everybody says it. It's great advertising.
I always hated the way they're selling sponsorships on arenas, though. Old school guy. It's Wrigley Field. It's Comiskey Park. It's not, what, Guaranteed Rate Field.
Well, Guaranteed Rate, that's pretty the lowest of the low, you know. You know, Salvation Army Stadium. They're going to just get right to the bottom of the barrel right now.
It's funny when you have a check for $10, $20 million, how people let you name what you...
People are ringing a bell outside.
Oh,
want a hot dog?
Just bad. Oh, and it's the Sears Tower. It's not the Willis.
Well, that's people of a certain age.
See? There you go.
Now, Troy McDonald, our producer, you're of a certain age. You were probably right on the cusp of both. You call it the Willis Tower or the Sears Tower?
I still call it the Sears Tower.
Yeah, see? Yeah. You're right on the cusp, though.
Yeah.
Okay, let's say you're going to a concert west end of Chicago out by Rosemont. What's that arena called for you?
Is that the Allstate Arena?
See what I mean? No, it's the Rosemont Horizon.
See? Don't know what that is.
He's too young. And he's not young, which makes us
ancient.
Yeah. Let's get to that.
Paleozoic.
Again, thanks so much for listening. We love to have you at Facebook. We're getting a bump on Facebook, my friend.
We've got almost 9 friends on Facebook right now.
Almost.
One more, we can order a pizza, and everyone will get a slice.
Well, maybe not everyone. That's Facebook. Look for the Diabetic Show. Or you can go to the website, diabeticshow.com. Have any questions? We have a couple. Hopefully we'll have a chance to weave them into the conversation.
Yes, we want this to be a festival of, not a festival, but we're close to a festival. There's no rides here, anything like that. But just something that you could reach out. If you got questions, if you have someone that you're not even diabetic, that you know is diabetic, maybe you're going to date somebody diabetic, do you take them out and give them a gluten-free cupcake or something? What do you give your date?
You know, this is an emotional roller coaster, though. So we got that going for us. Let's hit some news before the break here. And I have... You know, every week I try to mull through all the minutiae. But, and actually, there's some diabetic news that I believe that we are making an impact on. I think it's the fear.
Okay.
The fear of getting called by us.
This just in, breaking news.
Ooh.
Breaking wind.
How mainstream. Here's the thing. Research from Germany. And it kind of flows into the next story, so bear with me here.
Well, the Germans, they tend to get things pretty accurately.
They will. Get things accurate.
You know, Austrians can't trust them as far as you can throw them. Germans, right on the money.
It's got to do with the elevation.
How many Austrian cars have you heard of? None.
I don't think there's anybody we can really offend at this
Germans
point.
Germans can't stop making them.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, here's the deal. I'm not sure what part of Germany, but they found that taller people have a lower risk of type 2 diabetes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For every, and here's where the story gets a little muddled for me. The sentence goes, for every 10 centimeters of additional height. And right away, you've lost me. You know, when you go to the meters.
Is that 3-4 inches maybe?
Yeah. There you go. Very nice. Mm-hmm. So we'll go that way. For every few inches.
Because growing up in public schools in Wisconsin in the 70s, we all knew by 1990, the metric system will be in everywhere in the United States.
You're forced.
Wah, wah. And global cooling was going to kill us.
Do you remember
not
that?
Not global warming.
I'll never forget. I'm driving somewhere, and I saw a gas station advertising liters. It's
Canada?
What? No. I mean, right here in his very own country, right down the road. And they were selling it by, it's 1984, three.
Really?
See, there you go.
I've never seen that. I have been in Canada, and I've seen, you know, 106. Oh, my gosh. It's 106 a liter, which is 424 a gallon. Canadian.
And then they mess you over with those imperial gallons. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. That's a whole nother show. But here's the deal. For every few inches of height, there's a 41, and how they give them these numbers, 41% reduced risk of type 2 diabetes in males, slightly less in females. And that's according to diabetology studies. So that's a new word for you.
So Giannis Antetokounmpo is pretty much not going to be a diabetic. The guy's a 7-foot Greek guy.
Not many people know that.
What's that?
I'm not sure. The researchers have adjusted the results to, they kind of pulled out the things as far as potential effects of age, education, lifestyle, waist size. And see, here's where it gets interesting. They suggest there's an inverse relationship between height and type 2 diabetes in fat people. And I use the word fat. They use the word obese. The word fat really, that's what, you know.
Chunky, heavy set, husky. Morbidly obese.
See, these are those new, you know, post-PC world.
That's a legitimate medical term, morbidly obese.
Morbidly.
Well, that's, you know, that'll get your attention, won't it?
Well, no, when I can't see my feet. That's
you got your shoes shine, you had to take the guy's word for it.
That's the. So anyway, here's the deal. Don't derail this story, Dobie.
We would want to have fun on the radio.
I was
that
kidding
would be
there.
Okay.
But yeah, that's the deal. Apparently, if you have a higher BMI, body mass index, and I believe what they're talking about is 30. The number there is a 30. If you have a BMI of 30 or more, I don't know if that's obese or morbidly obese. But point is,
comfortably obese.
I'm good with that.
Obese with a twist.
This may indicate that a higher diabetes risk with larger waist sizes. So that's a nice way of saying, yeah.
But seriously, some people are without making fun, are large. You know, you talk about the old joke, big boned.
Big boned.
You know, your butt's bigger than your bones. Ha, ha, ha. But I don't mean that at all. But there's some people are, better get that. Might be the phone.
Oh, it's the wife. Okay. So anyway, yeah, go on with it.
No, but I think the charts, they also have the charts. A friend of mine was a bodybuilder.
Right.
And he would grunt and squat, and he could basically bench press a Buick, and he was a huge guy.
See?
But he was short. So he was probably 5'4", 5'5", but he weighed probably 210.
But what shape was he? Because I've seen stories.
He had arms like bowling balls.
That's what. But see, now here's the rub. Let me interject into your story here. Body shape has a lot to do with cardiovascular, they're finding out. They're saying if you look like an apple, not good. And to me, apple is...
No, what about it? What about it? Just the core of an apple? That's almost like a Coke bottle.
Well, that's true, too. They're saying you want to be a pear. Apparently, you want the weight to accumulate below the waist, because then if you're pear-shaped, you don't have the cardiovascular risk.
I picture more of a... I like to be a mango.
Mangoes would be good, because a lot of people can't carry that color scheme.
I go for zucchini, but that's a vegetable. That's not a fruit.
And let's not even go there.
Kumquat. So,
here's the deal.
Persimmons.
As it drifts into the next story, much like a blizzard.
Boysenberry.
People with diabetes, according to the Canadian Medical Journal Association, a higher risk of cardiovascular. So it kind of rolls in. The bigger you are. The harder you fall. Heart disease, major cause of death worldwide. Obesity is a major risk factor. You are a diabetic. If you are, then you can double these numbers, triple these numbers. I know we've gone over these numbers over these years. If you're just a regular diabetic, plain old diabetic.
Plain old Joe Q diabetic.
There you go.
Or Jill.
Or Jill, please. You got 30 times the chance of the heart attack. 30 times the heart attack. And that's if you're okay. I mean, if you're, you know, it's just, you got to die something, right? And they always say, if you look at the numbers of death, number one is heart. Number two is cancer. They're fighting it out between the two of them, but cancer and heart.
Where's pink eye in that list?
Slightly below.
So the top 500?
Yeah, something.
You never heard that, have you?
No.
Died of pink eye.
Wouldn't that be embarrassing? I mean, when you think about it.
You got another eye. Well, that one's just going to kill you right there, knock you out.
I've got to sit back and think about that for a second.
I've had pink eye four times. I'm not lying to you.
Four times.
Yeah. And it's suppose I took swimming lessons, and I guess you can get it in a pool. You know?
Did you wait the 3 hours after you ate?
No, I took swimming lessons and it's the next thing I know, I had this thing with one of my eyes swole shut. Oh, you got pink eye. Can I stay home from school? No. You have to go to school. You just like you just lost a boxing match because you got the big swollen up eye. And it's just throughout high school, I had it two more times. And in my 20s, I had it again. So I have an aversion to pink eye. Let's do a telephone.
Let's file this story, too.
Okay.
The gist of it is a big BMI bad, low BMI good. And you'll dive something slightly different a little later on. One final thing here. We've talked about the cost of insulin. We'll hit this before the break, though, because this – we've had so many guests on the show talking about insulin, how they kind of work it out, when the patents expire, how these big three or four players, they kind of tweak that just enough. If you tweak the formula just enough, it's a whole new patent. Mm-hmm. And so people cannot impede on your – and then people are saying, well, you got these big people. They're not playing fair. They're changing it. They're only changing it for the sake of protecting the patent, as opposed to making it a better drug.
Certainly.
So here's the thing. Despite the outrage that we've all showed with the high cost of insulin, prices for popular insulin treatments have continued to climb this year. That's according to a GoodRx analysis of drug prices, although prices are not climbing as quickly as they did between 2002 and 2013.
I don't think they can.
They tripled. 300% in 10 years between 2002 and 2013.
I'm going to interrupt you. Let's take a break and we'll come back. I have a question to add on this.
I can't wait.
Okay.
This is The Diabetic Show. Thanks for listening. The Diabetic Show. Mark Philwitt, type 1 diabetic.
Dobie Maxwell, type 2. We are back. Thank you for listening. We do appreciate it. If you'd like to get a hold of us, we sure would like to hear from you to grow our community. We are on all over the Facebook. Do you ever hear people say that?
Mm-hmm.
Are you on the Facebook?
You got to make it a pronoun.
Like you get the cancer.
It's true, though. We do have the website. Yeah,
the diabetes.
Yes, we have.
The Diabetic Show. We have that.
We have the Facebook presence. You'll find us. What's nice is...
Are we on MySpace?
No, I've refused. I'm drawing the line at Facebook. I'm not a big tech guy.
Okay.
Facebook is complicated enough. But the nice part about it is people use it for the questions because it just seems like people think if you have diabetes, it's just your diabetes, just your question, just your situation. But whatever you're going through, a lot of people out there sharing it. So.
Well, millions of people are sharing
quite
it.
Literally.
That's why we got together. And I think our dream in the long run of this show is to, number one, get double figures in listeners.
Oh, it's nice. Coming. It's coming.
We could all fit in the minivan, I think, and go over for Dairy Queen and have the diet soda. But seriously, let's get something where we get together and have a meal, whether it's a restaurant or some kind of hall, and maybe do a show live or have someone like Donna could come with us.
Donna Swanson.
Donna Swanson come in and answer questions, because you're absolutely right. People do have the same questions, and you had a different situation, but you could go to the website and hear our disclosure how we got diabetes. When I heard that word, it knocked me on my butt. I did not expect it. You have diabetes. It wasn't type 1, type 2. It's like, I heard, wah, 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 you will be dead by sundown.
True enough.
That's,
And right away, what I thought was amazing about you, Dobie, a lot of people, well, they want to know. Okay, I have this new disease, and they want to find out about it. You know, how long, what maybe complications I've got. What I noticed about you, and maybe this is just you, when you were determined to be diabetic, you wanted to know what the record is for the highest blood sugar.
Yes. I didn't say I wanted to go after it.
No.
I just wanted to know what the record was.
That's what you cared about out of your disease, one of the first questions that you needed to absorb. Mm-hmm. The highest blood sugar. Now, I have asked.
What is it?
I got this couple of EMTs and then a couple of emergency room surgeon types.
So they're just saying what they saw was the highest.
What they saw.
Not the National Diabetic Record Institute. When you cut yourself shaving and Aunt Jemima syrup comes out, that's a pretty high number, I would think.
Again.
Dr. Pepper comes out.
The thing about that, first off, there is no category anywhere in any of the record books for the blood sugar. It's more or less a talking point that a lot of people use. Like when I was diagnosed, I was at 750.
So you left me in the dust.
Oh.
My little 500, I'm almost.
Oh, 500.
Anorexic.
Don't embarrass yourself. I mean, don't even mention that.
Okay.
I mean, there's some people after a good pasta meal with a little of the garlic bread.
Has it ever had a comma?
Yes. Yeah. From what I got from one EMT, 1495.
Now we're talking.
1495.
All right.
And they lived. See, because that's the other thing, is that when you're in that neighborhood of the four figures with a comma,
yeah,
your body tends to want to go to sleep. They call it a coma.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so, and then during the coma, you can have spikes inside that coma, which could take you way. I mean, just,
higher than 1400.
Run away. Yeah. It's one of those, like global warming they talk about with the ozone layer, trapping heat and secretes more, and, you know. Similar with the diabetes. Once you get to a certain level, because what happens is you still have sugar stored inside of you. Even the worst diabetic or the best, you have stores of sugar. Like, for instance, when I was almost killed with the hypoglycemia, what saved me was the sugars in my liver that are just sitting there, and the body releases them. But there's an effect, and I cannot remember the name of the effect, because they always name it after some foreign great physician generally. It's a something effect. And the gist of it is, when your body, even if you are or are not a diabetic, senses that you are in need of insulin, the body still thinks to itself, well, obviously the pancreas has got to start working. It doesn't realize the pancreas has quit. Long time ago, at least for a type 1.
Sure.
For type 2s, it's kind of, you know, is it living? Is it not? Is it working? Is it?
It's kind of like your catalytic converter on your car.
Thank you.
When it stops converting, no more catalytic.
I've always tried to compare diabetes to an exhaust, and home run. So the gist of it is, when whatever parts of your body realize, hey, this blood sugar is getting a little out of hand, it asks the liver to release more sugars, and I'll tell you why. They think, the body, if the pancreas is maybe not doing its job today, it's sleeping on the job, we got to give it more sugar to, hello, you know, wake up, release insulin.
Sure.
Of course, pancreas has none, at least in my case.
Yeah.
So the sugar will keep climbing. And you will see, generally, and since I've got this really nice CGM, the continuous glucose monitor,
sure.
Every 5 minutes I can see where I'm going. And it tells me where I'm going to go.
So it spikes up or down.
Exactly. And your body all day long does this ebb and flow. Granted, if you do not have diabetes, everything's in perfect check. You're never higher than 200, I believe, 180 after a big meal because your body starts immediately kicking out what it needs to do. But the situation is if you are unable to produce the insulin, your body will completely release sugar. That's all it will do. Trying to get the pancreas to work. He has no idea the pancreas has left the building. But, and like I said, I could be wrong. The only thing I do is I read. I talk to a lot of people much smarter than me. And the closest that we've been to a doctor was, what, when you were playing one on that soap opera back in the 80s. And
Well, I saw a Frankenstein movie. That guy was a doctor.
You look good in a long white coat.
Dr. Frankenstein.
And a lot of people respected you for that role. So the gist of it is, once you are comatose, sky's the limit, Dobie. If they don't have that insulin somehow hooked up to your body to bring that sugar down, yeah, we could be going past 2,000. So,
really?
Yeah. So see, we got that.
Now we've got something to shoot for.
You got to have a goal.
It's like the Guinness Book of World Records. Did you ever see that when it came out every year?
Oh gosh, yes.
You'd say, you know, what record can I break? And I couldn't even come close to think. Do I want to eat 10,000 bananas? I really don't.
What got me were the fat twins.
Oh, right, the McGuire's.
How did you know that?
Because I got the every year.
Wow. They always had the picture.
They were wrestlers
yes.
on a motorcycle.
On his motorcycle.
One of them was Benny. I don't know the other one.
I'm going to say Barney just because they always named twins.
Benny, you know, Barney. Barney. Yeah. Yeah. One of them was Benny.
But yeah, certain images. That and the guy was 1,000 pounds. Robert.
Yeah, the guy was buried in a piano case.
Oh, my God, you do remember that.
Yeah.
Son of a gun. See,
exactly what you're talking about. And the tallest guy, Robert Wadlow, from
yes.
Alton, Illinois, which is right outside of St. Louis.
That's true.
And he was, I think, 8 foot 1.
I think now that we've given all this free publicity to these people, they will give us that the high blood sugar because people want to know. Or at least we do.
But that's not exactly a record you want to try to go for, though.
What's a posthumous award, most likely? Now, the insulin pricing at the break, we have to hit this. It's still going up, but not as fast. It's not going up 100% a year. Now, in the last, here we go, it's only gone up 55% in the last 3 years.
It's a bargain.
So only.
So Costco's got a 55-gallon drum of it available.
The analysis shows price increases this year affected basically the long-acting insulins, the ones that are front and center today, the ones you keep hearing about on your TV. Ask your physician about it. Yeah, there's so many different ones out there. Yeah, I use Toujeo. There's Trabisa, I think, is another one. I'm not big on.
Now, okay, if we want to be the crusaders for this, and people listening, if your cost of insulin is through the roof, they're going to kill us in about a week.
Oh, I would imagine.
Seriously, but I think what's the intelligent way to go about this to say, hey, let's get the prices down for everybody?
Here's the first thing. If you need insulin, it's available. You know, you hear those horror stories, especially people in the fixed income levels, where they're deciding, gee, do I want to eat or do I want to medicate? There are programs for you. Now, here's the rub. And I'm not going to single out any one of these big three or four. But here's the rub of all those programs. They'll go, oh, we're really sorry. Oh, could you send us all? They need all the paperwork. Because for all they know, you might be some crazy person that just wants insulin in their lives. Mm-hmm. So you bring them all these papers, you send them off, and then we got to get this doctor's approval. And
you're dead by the time you get your
6 months minimum from the first day of
that's applied. Unacceptable.
So they're trying to cut that back. They're trying. I think Santa Fe says they got it down to 90 days or less. But still, that's 90 days where you're trying to break Dobie's record of the blood sugar. What are you going to do about it? So here's the thing. If you attack these let's pick our words wisely, Mark, thanks. Mm-hmm. If you contact these people, these manufacturers, and you say, I need some yesterday, where do I get it? And then they'll refer you, a lot of hospitals out there. There's a lot of things they can do for you. And here's where that fine line between hospitals go, right? They have to administer a certain level for free to you. I mean, you come walking in bleeding, they got to at least put the Band-Aid on, then push you out.
Like in the emergency ward.
Exactly. There are certain things that they're compelled to do by law. Yeah, insulin is kind of like on that line there, that little gray area. Mm-hmm. So if you go in as a diabetic and they go, oh, he's barely got Dobie Maxwell levels, like 500, they'll at least shoot you up with some. And then out the door.
But how long will that last?
Until the next meal, pretty much.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with it.
How many hospitals are within 10 minutes of you?
You got to plan your commute. Here's what you can do, though. There are other places like the old, I don't want to say old insulin because I used to use this stuff, but the older, not the brand new stuff, that price is leveled and actually gone down.
Is it still effective?
Yes and no. It works. I mean, it kept me alive for the first 15, 20 years of diabetes. For me, it was known as R for the short term. And that back then, the short term was up to 5 hours of coverage. And then the long term was about 20, 23 hours. That was called NPH. They both still exist because Lilly still can make it. And they sell it. And they make deals with CVS, I know, Walmart. You can get a whole vial. And depending on what your usage is, that could at least land 3 weeks, maybe. I mean a vial, not a pen, but a vial, the old-fashioned vials.
You could a pickle jar.
Almost that size, but honestly, probably a 1,000 units. It's a little guy, like you'd see in the movies. That'll get you about a month if you use it, hopefully.
Like a trial-size shampoo.
Ooh, good idea. $35 still.
Okay,
thank you. But these new ones... and they've just leveled off the prices. A new insulin, like the type I use, say a Novolog, it's down to $375 a vial. Down to $375.
The designer insulin.
Yeah, and it.
The Gucci.
They call it the good. That's the good stuff. It works. It's totally out of your system in 3 hours, and that's the key, being a type 1. You don't want it lingering, because when it lingers, it can mix with the long-acting stuff that you use, and then you get those... Well, have you ever been around me when I went hypo, where I dropped?
I have not.
Okay. Well, I want to say that I say stupid things if that ever happens.
Well, that doesn't narrow it down very much.
I was going to say, I could be hypo all the time at that rate. Mm-hmm. But the point of it is, a lot of people, when they're diabetic long enough, they lose the touch. They lose the feel of where they are. And what I mean by that is, I'll never forget when I first diagnosed, I'm in the hospital. and they're trying to figure out what my level should be, the amount of insulin medications I need. You get to that point where they want you to be hypoglycemic, because at least then they know, okay, here's his level. We can give him this many units of this kind in this time frame. He'll be okay. We go above that number, he risks hypoglycemia. And whenever you hear those stories, like a school bus driver, oh, here's a terrible story where they have a medical emergency.
While they're driving the bus.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or you'll hear, maybe not just a bus driver, but just people. They had a medical emergency. They never say what it is. Very rarely say. There are medical emergencies, but I'll tell you, probably the causes of that much more often are hypoglycemics, where it just kicks in. If you do a little too much exercise, you have a little too much stress. Sometimes if you imbibe alcohol, that's going to figure out how the drug is released into you. It will affect it one way or the other. So the gist of it is, the point is just getting where you need to go, knowing that you can't ever make the decision whether you need the insulin or the food, because you need both, and they're both available to you. You just need to know how and where. So, for that, perfect for our website or for the Facebook.
That's our mission.
Just ask the questions, because we have the answers. We can tell you, and then you use it, because it's not just you we're telling.
We're going to take a quick break and check our email, so maybe you have a question for us. We'll answer them coming up next. This is The Diabetic Show. He is Mark Philwett, type 1. Dobie Maxwell here, type 2. You are who you are. Please come back. We're coming back on The Diabetic Show.
The Diabetic Show, third portion, very short. We've been babbling on today, but we do appreciate all the questions that we get. You can email us, Mark or Dobie, at thediabeticshow.com.
You can Morse code us. You can give us the bat signal. You can do whatever you do to contact. You can stalk us, squat in our bushes with binoculars, waiting for us to.
See, this is the world. We cannot say that. It's because they will.
You know what? That's okay.
It's always funny until somebody loses an eye. Uh-huh. And Mr. Pink. Okay, anyway.
What is our question? Who is it from?
Okay, it's funny. We get two types of questions, don't we? The first one is, what exactly is your show about? Because people are kind of lost. It's not really a medical show, but it is.
Yes, and I hear the same questions. What I try to tell people, whether it's right or wrong, is we are discussing a serious topic. We don't make fun, but we have fun, and we keep it light and for people in everyday language can understand.
It's an everyday disease.
Because it affects millions of people of all ilks.
Ooh, that's another good word. See, right away you're leaving me in the dust with that vocabulary stuff. Anyway, here's the question. June, beautiful name, great month, South Milwaukee. And she directed it towards you. Most of these. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I can't read those, but this one. What's the hardest part about being a diabetic when you travel? And a lot of your life is travel.
Yes.
How do you put it when you're stand up? You're on the road for 8 hours. You perform for 15. How do you do that with your life?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm making a life change as we speak. I am getting off the road. It's darn near impossible.
So what do you do?
You try your best. You try to eat good, and you sleep and drink your water and hydrate, but you still find yourself.
You have to be aware.
Yes. And you'd be surprised. You're reading more labels than you ever thought, and you go into restaurants saying, I can't eat anything on page 1, 2, or 3. So, yes.
I love it. Okay, well.
Thank you, June.
We appreciate all the good words, too. So stop by Facebook, thediabeticshow.com. We got so much coming up here. We're going to bring Donna back in the next show. She's well missed. She's our expert. She's the one who gives us, what's the word I'm looking for?
Credibility.
Credibility. It's a good word. Dobie Maxwell, Dobie at thediabeticshow.com, Mark at thediabeticshow.com. And Troy McDonald, again.
He has diseases of his own right. He has no diabetic, so good for him.
No, he's working on it.
He can eat anything he wants.
Yes, and he's a specialist at, is it, what he develops things.
Oh, okay. Maybe you could develop our bank account.
Thanks so much.
We got to go. Thanks for listening. We are The Diabetic Show.
Thank you for tuning in to The Diabetic Show, featuring Mark Philwett and Dobie Maxwell. For more information or to stay in touch, visit thediabeticshow.com. Until next time.